and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of March 25th. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Saturday morning here in Japan and a Friday night in Toronto are my buddies. First of all, Jim Allen here in Tokyo, and then Claudio Rodriguez of Baseball Japones. He's in Toronto. Thank you guys for joining, and good morning and good evening.
Thank God it's Friday, Claudio.
Yeah, definitely. Great pleasure to be with you guys as always.
We love having you. Thank you so much, as always, for taking your time, man. What would we do without you? You got to come to Japan so we can buy you some food.
Take you out of the town. I definitely want to go. Just the ticket prices are insanely expensive.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm glad you didn't say, hey, John, get your butt out here to Toronto. I haven't been out there.
I thought I was going to make it in December, but they started direct flights. They started shorter flights from my airline. I didn't have to do a stay over in Toronto.
Well, I tell you this, Claudia, I would love to go out there and catch the Maple Leafs against the Kings and see Austin Matthews. So that'd be cool. But
definitely.
Maybe one day. All right. On this week's show, we are presenting our Pacific League prediction special, again with guest Claudio Rodriguez sitting in. And then that's basically all we're going to be talking about for the whole, hopefully it's about 90 minutes, and we get some real good insight and actually get the predictions correct. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
Correct predictions. What planet did you come from?
Exactly. I don't know. I just know kryptonite doesn't bother me.
Good.
So I'm not Superman, that's for sure.
Good. That's always a test that you do it in the morning. Okay. I'm just checking.
All right. So I see the Pacific League as a season-long version of Take Me Out to the Small Game. Because I think we're going to see an uptick maybe in the manufacturing of runs. We don't really have, again, other than a couple teams, we don't have a lot of dynamic hitters in the league, in my opinion, especially when you go with lineups, guys who, you know, you can pitch around. There are a couple lineups out there I think are going to be tough. But otherwise, I think we're going to see a lot of small ball, a lot of teams putting guys in motion, hit and run. You know, big boss up there, Tsuyoshi Shinjo up there in Hokkaido likes to do that a lot. But we have two new managers in Hiroki Kokubo and Fukuoka with the Hawks and Toshiaki Imai of the Eagles. So that should be a great subplot to watch. I like both of those guys, so I want to see how they are doing. And then we've got Masato Yoshi of Lotte and then Kazuo Matsui of Seibu. And they have 3 years or fewer. Also, big boss up there in Hokkaido, they have 3 years or fewer of experience. So that to me means I think we're going to get some new thinking, maybe some new approaches, maybe a couple surprises here in the race for the pennant. So I always talk about the fact that there's a surprise every year that a team that we thought was a sleeper or didn't get a good read on early on makes a great run and does something special. And I'm really hoping for it this year, but I'll tell you this, I'm confident every year going into this that I've gotten all the teams right and I know exactly what's going to happen. And this year, I don't have that kind of confidence at all for the Pacific League. So let's see what everyone else thinks. Let's get started. One other thing, we're going to mix the teams up here because we feel like it. We're not going to go in the order that they finished last season. We're just going to go randomly. So we're going to start with Claudio and the Fighters.
All right. So for the Fighters, for the rotation, we're going to have Hiromi Ito, Takayuki Kato. I'm guessing Sachiya Yamasaki that came from Oryx is going to be one of the starters as well. Then they have other options. Kenta Uehara, a newcomer. Patrick Murphy should be probably getting one of the spots, and maybe Drew Verhagen as well. For key additions, so they had a couple of Dominicans, Franmil Reyes and Aneuy Zavala. Then we have Andrew Stevenson, Drew Verhagen that's back, is coming back to the team, and then Patrick Murphy. For the roster hits, they lost Naoyuki Wasawa, who went to the majors. Arismendi Alcantara and Alan Hansen, who really didn't get much playing time in the whole of last year. Colby Ponce, he's now with the Eagles. James Marvel and Taiwanese Po Jun Wang was let go as well. Although didn't he come back as a like developmental player or something?
He is.
Yes. Okay. All right. Perfect. So, okay. Where was I? The outlook for the Fighters. What can you say about the team? A team like the Fighters. I like the players. I like what they have. I like that they're young. I like that they're kind of moving up. I love Jose Manami. He's a fantastic player. I really like Ariel Martinez. I think he's going to grow. He's becoming more confident now that he's playing. Well, that's one of the issues. He's still not playing every day. They still bench him every now and then, and he doesn't get a nice rhythm of playing every single game. And also they keep changing positions for him. It's like, you know, just settle him someplace and leave him there. But he's, yeah. I think he's growing. He may be putting better numbers this year than he had last year. You have Kotaro Kiyomiya that's still, you know, waiting for him to kind of wake up and become a really important player. Maybe this is a year for him. They had, you know, decent pitching. And it's an exciting team to watch. But I don't trust the big boss. I don't trust Shinjo as a manager. I mean, I gave him the benefit of the doubt last couple of years, and he didn't really do much. And my beef with Shinjo is that he keeps changing stuff. Like, you know, as I said, leave Martinez in one position, whether it's first base or catcher or whatever, but leave him there and play him every day. He keeps, you know, benching players. Like one day the guy would hit a couple of homers, but he's going to bench in the next game for no reason whatsoever. I remember that time when he had that rookie closer and the guy blew like three, four saves in a row, and he kept bringing him in and complaining that, you know, if you don't keep failing, you're not going to learn. It's like, I get your point, dude, but you're messing with your with the team. You're messing with a season. You're not winning the games you need to win to be able to make it to the postseason. So I don't trust Shinjo.
Maybe
I think the team has...
Maybe the closer was learning how to fail and getting really good at it.
I know. So the issue was, you know, I think the team is promising. They have good talent. They could do better. This team could make the playoffs if they have a good run and a good manager behind them to move those pieces properly. But I don't trust Shinjo to do that. I don't think he's going to find a way to mess things up and not give the team the consistency they need to make it there. And because of that, then my prediction is that they're going to end up in fifth place this year.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Martinez is I don't know that they like him at catcher. And I just don't get this. And that's the thing. And so that's why I'd rather have him in the lineup in other positions. Maybe at first, I think they had him in the outfield at some points. I don't mind that because it gets the bat in the lineup. And I don't know if you saw last night, he hit a walk-off home run to the deepest part of Escon.
Yeah, it was a massive homer, yeah.
I mean, I would love to have that bat in the lineup. So that gives their lineup a little bit more depth and power. And he's a good hitter. He's a good contact hitter. So
yeah.
I don't mind that. But yeah, I know what you're talking about with the big boss. So
yeah, look, I understand if he's not the best at catcher, then, you know, use him at first, use him as DH, whatever it is. But just pick a position and leave him there and let him play every day and help you with the bat. But if you keep changing him all the time, it's like, dude, like, please, like, stop doing that.
Yeah, I think he's a competent catcher, an adequate catcher. I think the problem is the low pitches that he doesn't block. I suspect that's the problem. That's what when he was with the Dragons, that was an issue I heard about, and then throwing out runners as well. But he's a perfectly capable catcher. I don't know why they don't want to stick him back there all the time. But and then again, you know, it's the Japanese thing about having somebody who's a better communicator. But I'm sure by now his Japanese is much better than it was, and it was okay before. So anyway,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim.
Yeah, I think I'd pick up on the Ariel Martinez guy. He's such a good guy. I mean, I spoke with him last year. He's such a positive, team-oriented guy. What a great player to have on your team. No, I think, yeah, I think what you do with him, and then the hard thing in Japan is that when you're focused on the negatives, it's so hard to see the positives. And there's no position in Japanese baseball where focusing on the negatives is more of I guess what's the word I'm looking for, is more of a fad or a thing than Japan, than catcher. You know, it's like Nate Menchie, who played for Hiroshima and Lotte, and then scouted for a number of teams, the Giants, Cleveland Indians, and so on, said one day when he was with the Marines that a guy hit a home run off a hanging curveball, and they blamed the catcher. And he said he didn't throw that. He didn't hang it.
So, he should have known it was going to be hung.
Exactly. Wow.
That's what you call calling a game.
Indeed. Okay. So I think that, yeah, I certainly agree with John. I think, and of course, the Fighters are one of these teams that has if any team in Japan has a thing about catchers, it's the Fighters. Because I would think that a third of their roster are former catchers, because that's what they do. They find catchers and then they find other positions for them. And it's just their thing. Now, so they've always got somebody else they want to try. They've got somebody else they want to try to learn through failure. You know, to try him out and see if he fails. And then, you know, what position are we going to find for him when he isn't the catcher we want? So they work that way. The big thing, I certainly agree about Shinjo. I like their pitching a bit. It was quite good last year. I think it's going to be better this year. And I think the reason the pitching is so good is because Shinjo is not a former pitcher, although he did try to be once and
a
two-way player.
He sort of is a former pitcher, yeah.
Yeah, he is. He pitched in the spring one year, in the first year when Katsuya Nomura was his manager with the Hanshin Tigers. He said, I can't use you as a hitter, but maybe you can throw or something. And so anyway, he leaves the pitching alone now because the team ordered him to, at least the former general manager did. Speaking of which, the Fighters did something really weird in November, which I'd never seen before, in which the general manager became the farm manager. So, which tells me that he's probably the next manager. He's finally going to be the next manager of the Fighters.
He's on deck, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's gone from national team manager to general manager to farm manager, and they're going to finally probably pull the plug on Mr. Shinjo. Are pulling the plug a little bit on Mr. Shinjo, and this is the last thing I have to say about the Fighters. I do like that. I love the talent, and my thing with Shinjo is the weird position choices. Yuki Nomura is a perfectly good third base and never played in the outfield, but Shinjo is one day going, hey, let's see if this guy can play the outfield. I think he can play the outfield. It's like, I mean, it's hell, like having Donald Trump manage the team, you know? It's just like,
hashtag
hi. I mean, come on. Okay, and to say that, I think the thing with Shinjo is he's a little bit like sort of a baseball sock puppet.
He's got somebody's hand up. No, wait.
No, but
what do
listen,
you mean by that, Jim?
Listen, what I mean is that when he first came in, it's like they told him, talk about doing weird stuff to get the fans in our new ballpark and being really Shinjo. And he came off with all the, you know, full-blown, you know, full-volume Shinjo with the clothes and the tours of the ballpark and I'm here. I'm the face of the team. Everyone's going to be a pop star. We're going to have pitchers on talk shows and stuff and being celebrities. And then the next year, and we're not going to talk about winning. And then the next year they said, okay, this year let's talk about winning. So all of a sudden the guy who was not about winning is all about winning. And this year, the new addition, the big addition for the Fighters, the key addition is a Shinjo mute button. Because if you've noticed, he's been very quiet. He hasn't been telling, he hasn't been giving monologues about what he used to do as a player, whether it was he never worried about winning or he always would. Shut up. And it seems to be working. We'll see how that goes. But they
well,
still
geez,
can't
if that's the case, I think the voting media is going to make the mute button the MVP of the Pacific League.
So anyway, so that's the interesting thing. You'll still be Shinjo, but we'll hear less about it. I have third.
All right. Well, for me, I mean, I just have, that is my question. Has Shinjo calmed down? And by that, I just quite frankly mean, has he matured? Because we saw the way he managed that first year. He looked like, I was going to call him Mr. Tinkerman, because he tinkered with everything. He tinkered with how and when to have a hit and run go on, and sometimes with the bases loaded, right? Or was that, yeah, the hit and run with the bases loaded. So that is what has worried me. And he has more resembled a teenager who's gotten control of something, like he's behind a car for the first time. I mean, you know, he's just out having fun. You know what I mean? So does anyone have faith he can settle down and actually run the team toward a playoff run? And I hope he does. And I'm maybe not as high on the talent overall as you guys are. I don't think they have enough pitching. And by that, I just mean, you know, guys get injured. And if someone goes down, I'm not sure if we mentioned Haruka Nemoto. He has been pretty good, a fourth-year lefty. He's pretty good. I'm hoping the best for Drew Verhagen. I think Sachiya Yamasaki is a proven guy who can give him a lot of innings. But they don't really have a flat-out ace pitcher anymore. Their ace is gone, and they're just going to run guys out there each week. And that's fine. I don't really see that much separation between the top and the bottom half of the rotation. So I guess, in my opinion, we're going to see a lot of pitchers. Manami, a guy I talked about last year, he had basically his breakout season. So how does he come back this season? Is he better? Does he pretty much put up the same numbers? Or does he take a step back because everyone is pitching around him and they don't have enough protection in the lineup? So Jim had them in third. Claudio has them finishing in fifth. I looked around. I think the offense is lacking at best. I don't see who they brought in to get them out of the.
Reyes could be a good addition to the lineup, a power hitter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't been doing well in the spring, so I don't know how well can he do in the regular season. But he's a guy with power that, you know, if he clicks, if he adapts well, he should be an important addition to the team.
Yeah, I agreed. I saw him hit a massive home run early on in spring, but guys like that don't often make contact in Japan, so that is the challenge. Yeah. And if he can get you a home run every 10 games, that's good, but I don't see that happening. So look, they didn't score a lot of runs. All right. They struggled in run scoring. They were second in MPB in errors as well, behind Hanshin, which had 84 and Nippon Ham had 82. So they've got to clean things up on the defense to help that pitching. But it's about scoring runs, and I know they want a bunch of spring training games, and I desperately want to see them contend for a playoff spot, but there are just too many ways to sink the ship, from questions about the starters and the defense to the shortcomings on offense, and then you got the manager back there. So I don't expect them to contend, but I don't expect them to be completely awful. So I have them finishing in fourth. All right, let's go to the next team, and that is the Eagles with Jim.
Yep. The expected rotation is going to be in no particular order, because the Eagles are always surprising us. And, you know, we've got this thing where a few years ago we had the big guys who were going to be the studs of the Pacific League, and everybody was going to be in awe. And we ended up with one guy who was good, three guys who were pretty, pretty average, and a bunch of guys we weren't expecting to see in the pitching rotation. And I think that's going to be the standard for the Eagles going forward, although we have a new manager. But the Eagles have issues. At the rotation, I've got Masahiro Tanaka, Takahisa Hayakawa, Kosei Shoji, who I really like, Takayuki Kishi, who I also really like, because he's the kind of the Tsuyoshi Wada of the Eagles. He'll really, really stun you sometimes. And then when he's not stunning you, he's still okay. Wataru Karashima, who's had a weird kind of career move the last couple of years. He's sort of this guy who comes in and makes his season debut in Interleague, and they bring him out every week and a half. But they've also got Ryota Takinaka, who I expect to see a lot of, another guy who's quite good when he's on. He's the typical Japanese starting pitcher, in the sense that he's like half the starters in Japan. They've got really good pitches, but they're massively inconsistent with how often they can command them. Cody Ponce, I think, is going to fit in right in with that group, because he follows that pattern. We've also got Tatsuki Koja and Takuma Matsuda. The key additions for the Eagles are Nick Turley and Cody Ponce. The roster hits. The big roster hits, Yuki Matsui, who left as a free agent to the San Diego Padres and who I talked to the other day, which was fun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Ginji Akaminai, who was the guy off the bench, a big guy off the bench. And finally, I guess he decided he no longer wanted to be the guy off the bench. And so he quit. Always a pleasant guy. The Eagles offense took off the day that Toshiaki Mai was promoted from the farm to be the batting coach last, I believe it was in May. But according to one source I spoke to recently, the Eagles are a troubled organization for a variety of reasons. And one of them is that they have a guy who doesn't really like baseball coming in and telling the team what to do. And that's owner Hiroshi Mikitani, who's more of a soccer lover. And because he's sort of this hands-on absentee owner, which is really weird, they're also a team that has developed a culture of bullying and power abuse, which manifested itself last year in the Tomohiro Onraku situation. Mm-hmm. Yes. But we also saw in that a situation where basically Onraku was like the scapegoat of that situation. I mean, we had the video of Masahiro Tanaka laughing while he was abusing somebody. And if you're Masahiro Tanaka, and he apologized for that on Twitter, I should say on twitter.com, it's really a bad look, but that's what the Eagles have been pretty much since day one. They've had a history of hiring abusive people. They have a history of condoning abuse in the minor leagues. The guy I talked to said that Rio basically disappeared from the farm team for 3 months because he got tired of the racist abuse from the minor league coaches.
Who is that? Who disappeared?
Rui Okoye.
Oh, okay.
He stopped going. He stopped. He refused to go to practice and to games on the minor leagues because he got tired of all the nonsense and the constant abuse. Because that was tolerated in Rakuten. So that's what the Eagles are about. This did not figure into my prediction about them, but they were a team that massively, despite all the troubles they had, they massively overperformed last year. They're shifting around the infield. They're one of two teams in the Pacific League that are shifting to put their star second baseman at third base. For them, it's Hideto Asamura is going to be their new third baseman. And they're moving Takahiro Norimoto to closer, which was his job for a while with the national team. So it's not a role he's unfamiliar with. But we'll see how that goes. I like Toshiaki Imai. He's a very, very sincere and straight shooter, which may be a change from Kazuhisa Ishii. But the word I got was that Ishii was the manager because Mikitani made a decision to go that way. And everybody just had to say, yes, sir, let's do it and make it work. I think Imai will be an advantage, but Mikitani is still there. The culture is still there, even though Onraku is in Mexico. My prediction is last place.
Last place. All right, Claudio.
Well, very interesting. Everything that Jim said, I wasn't aware of how deep the issue was or the problem was with the abuse and the thing. You know, we can say on the joking side of that, Anraku won't be able to do that in Mexico. So in Mexico, if anything, he's going to be the one abused. So, you know, in when it comes to should we hire this player because he was abusing of other players in Mexico, that's not an issue because, you know, nobody's going to tolerate. I mean, no other player is going to tolerate him trying to abuse him, right? Like, going to stand up right up and hit him back if he dares to do anything like that. So in that sense, it's a perfect match. You can go to Mexico. It's not going to be any problem over there. But yeah, I mean, interesting in that sense of you know, the situation with Rakuten. I also see them as a team that's aging, you know, a lot of good pitchers, but veteran pitchers that, you know, they're not at their prime anymore. Same with the position players, as Amura's another one that is still a great player, a great hitter, but, you know, is getting old and probably won't be able to produce as much. I really like Michael Franco, the Dominican, which, by the way, if they move Samura to third, where are they going to put Michael Franco? Because he was playing third base, third base last year, I believe, at least in some games. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. But he's a good hitter. He you know, he had a good season. He got injured last year, but he had a good season with the team. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. But I have the same prediction. Last place for them because, like, oh, the other thing is. I don't think Imai has any experience, any previous experience as a manager, does he? Or
No,
has he been the minor league? No, like not even the minor league.
Yeah, have time. He just finished playing.
yeah, he was he was the minor league batting coach, and then they brought him
batting coach.
Okay. They made him the manager because the team was not hitting in April and May, and they brought him up, and they went from a .210 hitting team to a 270 hitting team. They really did hit well pretty much the day he showed up. And I think that's why they figured that was all due to the batting coach.
All right. So,
which is such a rock 10, it's such a rock 10 thing to do. I mean, goodness me.
Well, that was my other point. Like, I mean, considering that he doesn't have, you know, any previous experience as a manager, how well is he going to be able to do that? Maybe he's a rock star. Maybe he just transformed the team and makes him play a lot better this year, which would be great. But I don't know. I have my doubts. I have no way to compare what he can do as a manager. So, you know, I think too many doubts for the team. That's why I'm putting them in sixth place.
Okay. This team for me last year was an enigma. I expected great pitching, and they had the highest ERA in the PL. Remember, we talked about how they had these three aces or these three veteran pitchers who could potentially lead the staff or the rotation at least, and they didn't do it. And their run production was actually adequate enough for them to contend, and they stole the most bases in the PL too. And they hit 104 home runs, and that tied SoftBank, and that was only five off the lead. Behind Oryx. So defense and pitching were issues for the Eagles, and I don't think that's much better. And even though I absolutely love Itsuki Munabayashi at shortstop, but I think, Claudio, you picked up on what I was going to point out, was that the core hitting, the core of their lineup, Asamura, Hiroaki Shimauchi, Takeru, I wouldn't say Takeru Okajimi is a core guy, but a lot of the guys they have out there, they can run out there, are 30 and over. And, you know, they're over 30 and underperforming is what I see happening this season. And Hayakawa looks like things are clicking for him. I think that's going to be, it's going to be an issue with Norimoto filling in or sitting in or taking the role of closer. After Matsui made the jump to the majors. But the I guess the thing with Norimoto now is you don't have to worry about yanking the ball out of his hand, out of his cold, dead fingers, because you want to take him out of a game. But how's that going to go? I know he got a save last night. I wasn't able to finish watching that game. I was watching most of it at work. They were playing the Giants, and they beat them 3-1, and Norimoto got the save. But You know, a lot of questions they have as they embark onto this season, and a rookie manager thrown right into this kind of a cesspool that Jim described. That, I mean, we knew there were some problems, and look, no organization out there is perfect. There's some dysfunction in every one of them, but it's how much you can limit that and how much you can, again, run smoothly. And I always talk about the fact that, yes, the players can be great, but it's the organizations that really win. And when you have that, all the rowers rowing on time and in the same direction, you're going to be better than the other guys. So I don't see that here. I want them to be a credible contender, but I don't see how this group can get to the playoffs unless there are some roster changes. And in fact, I actually see them as far away from the playoffs as you guys do. And I'll make it a clean sweep. Last place for the Eagles. Wow. Are we? We're never in agreement at the bottom. We always
except in the Central League.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, all right. Let's move along here. Let's go to the three-time PL defending champion Oryx Buffaloes. That's me. The expected rotation: Shunpei Tayamashita, Hiroya Miyagi, Kohei Azuma, who emerged in the second half of last season, Daiki Tajima. Newcomer Luis Castillo comes over from Lotte, and he might get some starts. I read that. And then I guess the others at all will be the they'll be the day six pitcher. Key additions: they picked up outfielder Ryoma Nishikawa in free agency from Hiroshima. And then some imports: right-handed reliever, like I said, Luis Castillo, but he might get some starts, I read, like I said. Anderson Espinoza. Right-handed pitcher Andres Machado, and then outfielder Cody Thomas. Roster hits include just one guy, a big one, and the second one in three seasons with Yoshinobu Yamamoto jumping over to the Dodgers. But they also lost Satya Yamasaki. He actually came of age last season and gave him some quality innings, but I think his innings can be replaced. Jacob Wagaspak and others were sent away or traded away, like limited assets or allowed to leave or whatever they were, unwanted assets, I should say. And basically they changed out everyone except Marwin Gonzalez, I believe, in terms of their import players. But
the Venezuelan guy is still there. Yeah.
Oh, Cedeño.
Yes. Cedeño.
Leo Cedeño. Yeah. Okay. So they changed out a couple of their imports, but they've got two left or two still there. The Buffaloes obviously have arrived, I think, the past three, four seasons, winning league championships and a Japan Series title in 2022. They really, really snatched the spot as the lead dog from the Hawks. And I guess this is part of the process. It makes it difficult to stay on top. If you're good, some of your pieces are plucked away, offered better circumstances, / money, / opportunities. They obviously overcame the loss of Masataka Yoshida at the end of 22, but more challenges this offseason with Yoshinobu going to the Dodgers. And I think they lost the fight in keeping some of their assets. Now, they were 15 games better than Lotte and SoftBank last season. Now, how many games did Yamamoto win for them in 23? Anyone? He won 16. So how do you replace those games in which a guy who helped you be 15 games better? Now, I think simple math that losing him means they might lose 60% of the starts that he would have had, but that's just a guess. Who knows, because who's going to replace him? But I can see the Buffaloes dropping off. I can see the Hawks moving up, and maybe one other team moving up. So how did they make up that difference? I don't know. But I did see some positive signs with Azuma. I think he looks like he's going to be a usable pitcher. I think Hiroya Miyagi takes a step forward. Probably they're going to push him to the front and want him to be the ace. And I think he can handle that. I like Gonzalez in his second year. I think he can take a step forward and be more consistent. And then guys like Yutaro Sugimoto and Kotaro Kurebayashi, I think they're core pieces who are really going to carry the team, or they're going to drop the ball. It's kind of that simple for me. Keita Nakagawa, guy I've always liked, is going to have to be more consistent, but I think that the offense will be adequate, the pitching will be adequate. So it's just going to be a matter of winning those close games and making the right moves. And I think they have a really good manager, And I think they have a little bit more talent than some of the other teams. So I'm predicting that they're going to finish in second place. Jim.
Interesting. I also have them in second because that's what I do.
Are you copying me again? Didn't we have this problem last week? No, it wasn't you, right? It
was John, you're my idol. What can I say?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No. I've watched. It's so funny because when I look at pitchers, I generally pay very little attention, you know, unless there's somebody like Keiji Takahashi was, and they have this windup that looks like a windup toy, and it has all these mechanical moving pieces with, you know, arms, elbows, knees shooting out in different directions. I rarely notice their delivery. It's just my thing. I'm so focused because I'm a little ADD, and I'm on the autism scale, in the sense of I have trouble sensing direction, movement, and I can't remember it. So if you ask me, was the guy a left-hander or a right-hander, and I wasn't asked that question before, I might not be able to tell you. I can't tell if somebody's moving counterclockwise after the fact. I can't remember whether some motion was counterclockwise or clockwise.
Gotcha.
So what I tend to look at is I tend to ignore the delivery at first. And it's the Barry Larkin school of hitting Hideo Nomo. You forget all the nonsense before where the pitch is released, and you focus on that. And so what I do is I watch the pitches. And this spring, for suddenly, I'm seeing this big long-legged Shunpeita Yamashita, and I'm going, dude, how come I never noticed that he exactly pitches? His form is essentially the same as Shohei Ohtani's.
Right? Yes.
And I'm going like, how were they going to give this guy any number but 11? And then, oh, there he is. He's number 11, and I never noticed. And all I've been looking at is this guy's curveball and his fastball. I'm going, this guy's pitches, I just love him. Yes. And I'm going, and all of a sudden I'm going, and now you know why I didn't see it, because I never look at the pitcher. I'm looking at the pitches. So just wild. And this year he's become ultra Shohei. If he was 3 inches taller and, you know, and had a head transplant, we could think he was Shohei Ohtani. So anyway, but just amazing. So that's enough about him. Taisuke Yamaoka is still a solid piece. I think Luis Castillo has been, who was basically cast off by the Marines last year, never really caught much interest there. I think the Oryx Buffaloes are keen on him, on at least giving him a try. Anderson Espinosa, I saw him pitch again. It means nothing, you know, in preseason, but I saw him pitch in one game, and his pitches were really good. So he could fit into that Cody Ponce scheme where he's like a Japanese pitcher and he's got really good pitches, but we just don't see him all that often. Kohei Azuma, I like. Ryuhei Sotani is another guy I also like.
Yeah, so, I did like him. I saw him pitch in the preseason too.
The roster hits, you got those guys. Can't replace Yamamoto, but this is a good team. Should make the playoffs. My prediction, as I said, is second.
Okay. Claudio.
I actually have them in first this year again. I think they're still the best team in the PL. The pitching is fantastic. The rotation is sensational. Even after losing Yamamoto, they still have really, really good pitchers. And on top of that, they hired really, you know, potential good players. I mean, as you mentioned, Espinosa was pitching well. Andrés Machado has pitched well whenever he has pitched. They got Ryoma Nishikawa from the Carp, who's going to add up to that lineup. I think Leandro Cedeño and Marvin Gonzalez, you know, they're not humongous players, but they do get some important hits and they contribute to the team. So they're still a very good team. Of course, you know, the Hawks are very strong. Maybe the Hawks have a really good season and they beat them this year. But because I still have doubts, because the Hawks have had a really good team for the past few years as well, but they, for whatever reason, they couldn't do anything. So because of that, I'm still choosing Oryx to finish first because they're being consistent. They still have a really good pitching and good offensive players as well. And on top of that, they made really good signings in the winter. So they're even stronger now. I think they can still, now whether if they get to the Japan series, whether they're going to win it or not, that's another story because they're pretty good in the regular season and playoffs. But when they get to the Japan series, you know, manager Nakajima, I don't know, it's not the best making his decisions there. But I still like them to win it again, win the league title this year. So I'm picking them on first.
All right. Interesting. I'm not sure that I agree with the Hawks having a lot of talent. I just thought that they had some players, but maybe they had talent, but their players were not producing. And that's what it comes down to. I actually think the Buffaloes were better, and that's why they won. It wasn't that the Hawks just didn't produce or didn't failed or anything. It's just that I think the Buffaloes had the talent, and all their wishes came to fruition, I believe, and they potentially, the guy's potential rose, or it came out in those particular instances, and that's why they won. But yeah, okay. Next up is the Hawks, Jim.
Right, the SoftBank Hawks. The expected rotation is Kohei Arihara. And then we get a bunch of question marks.
Nick Salad.
That's right. Kohei Arihara and the question mark. Sounds like a garage band. Okay. Shuti Ishikawa threw no hitter. And nobody knows why.
That's right.
Now I know. Forget that one. And now Higashihama, who, again, another guy who threw a no-hitter. A lot of them. Yugo Bando, I do like. Carter Studer Jr. could be a huge success. I don't know that he will be, but, geez, I just love his pitches. I love his attitude. He's so mature.
Right into the program,
I just hope that he continues to make the adjustments he needs to. Levon Moinello, always a positive. Looks like he's going to find a home there. They didn't know he said he wanted to start. He wanted to do a Kaima Taira and be a starter. Told the team he wanted to start. The previous manager wanted him to start. And then the new manager came in and said, hold on. I'm going to make the decisions around here. And then he said, okay, you're a starter. and not only are you a starter, but you're going to be a starter whether you succeed or fail in the spring. So I'll tell you, for me, that was a thing that I really liked. And I want to say Tsuyoshi Wada, of course, will have him in there because he's just, he's 40, I guess he's 43 this year. So he's still
he's older than I am.
I know. I mean, I wish I could say I'm old enough not to be his dad.
Okay.
Or he's old enough that I couldn't be his dad, but I can't. So anyway, Tsuyoshi Wada is still plugging in there, still smart, still knows absolutely everything you could know about pitching left-handed. He's becoming the Japanese Jamie Moyer, except that he throws harder. He probably throws harder now than Jamie Moyer did as a rookie.
Right.
Yeah. So, but just love to see that. Anyway, I do like the pitching rotation, except for Shuta Ishikawa, who is, again, the prototypical Japanese pitcher. Got good stuff, but we don't know whether we'll see it or not. And the command is always an issue. There's also Kazuki Sugiyama, who I do like. The key additions is Hotaka Yamakawa, speaking of question marks, and Adam Walker, another question mark, a guy who looks like he can really play but didn't really put it together with the Giants, which is not really an indictment because the Giants were a team that was like, oh, well, I don't like you today, so you're not going to play.
I don't like you today. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like my
kind of like marriage.
Yeah, no, yes, indeed. That is exactly it. And that's the way it was with the Giants. And it was, I got a bad vibe about you, or I like somebody else better today, so you're going to start. And that's where the Giants had been going. And they're getting rid of, the Hawks are getting rid of a manager who was like that. And I'm going to consider, as I did with Hiroshi Makarp last year, I'm going to consider that replacing manager Hiroshi Fujimoto is a key addition to this team. Addition by subtraction. this guy created, now I opined, I get to use that word once a year. I got an exemption. Okay. I opined last year that the problem with the Hawks was that they had a manager who did not create a good working environment. He did not help to create a good working environment. And when I was at the winter meetings, I had several people from the Hawks tell me it was worse than that. It was a bad scene. Okay. And the Hawks, as Claudio said, they have a lot of talent. And I tend to agree with that. I think they do pump out a lot of talent. But they had a manager last year who was trying to be Tatsunori Hara. And you know,
that's not good.
You're going to do this today, and we're going to have this plan. And wait, we're going to change the plan because I know everything. And he was trying to be, there's a weird thing. Some managers come in and they try to be old school. And speaking of the Giants, they try to be old school. And they really, I don't know, it's almost like they're trying to prove something to the old guys who are going to be writing about them. And this was Fujimoto. He was a favorite player of mine because he was a big on base percentage guy. He had some pop, but he played second. You know, he's a chubby guy who played second base. And kind of an anti-Japanese thinking kind of second baseman. I figured he might be new style, but he turned out to be old fart. You know, this is, we're going to play old school baseball, high socks, you know, the whole bit, no white rice, whatever. And he turned out to be essentially the Tatsunami of the Pacific League. So getting rid of him was a big thing. I didn't have high hopes for Hiroki Kokubo, but and he has had that when he was manager of Japan, he had that thing going on too. He had that, I'm going to prove to the old guys that I'm an old school manager.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bit of a hard-headed, stubborn guy, so that he might still have a little bit of that in him. But when he was the national team manager, Sadaharu O selected him to be national team manager, and that was his fault when he had no experience. But since he's been at the farm team, he's been managing the farm team. He's been the head coach. He's got a lot more coaching experience. He did get a little better as national team manager as time went on.
Yeah, I liked him. I like what he did.
I did.
Yeah, he did a good job as a national team manager. Yeah.
Yeah, but at first he was a disaster. I mean, he was an unmitigated disaster. He didn't know what he was doing. But what Carter Stewart said in the recent interview with him was that, you know, this is a guy who looks out for the players. So we've got that huge change, and I think the Hawks do have the talent. They were hit hard also by injuries last year, especially the guy who really hurt them, the loss, was Ryoja Kurihara, who started the season like, I'm going to show the league I'm the MVP, and then he got hurt two weeks in. Yeah. So, and he came back and he wasn't himself. So he's the guy I think is going to be a big thing. Getting a manager who is not remote and more in line with the times is going to be a big thing. And my prediction is first place because, okay, I've picked the Hawks to be first place every year for the last 10 years. So why am I going to stop now?
You're not. So you know what? I throw out almost all of what we saw last year from this team. We see that they grabbed up scandal hit Yamakawa in a flash and traded to acquire Walker from the Giants and change managers. And I like your backstory about the management situation and all those things. That really helps us understand the team better. So thank you for that, Jim. They lost some starting pitching. I think they lost some bullpen arms here and there in the free agency and the second chance draft. And
I missed Rei Takahashi in the trade for Adam Walker. He was a good pitcher.
Right. So, but I think you talk about Kurihara in the middle of the lineup with Yamakawa, Adam Walker, and then the usual suspects of featuring Yuki Yanagita. I just think they have a powerful and dynamic lineup. And then you add guys like Taisei Makihara and Kenta Imamiya, you know, whether they're shifted around or in their original places where they started out as professionals, whatever happens, I like those guys on the infield. So I think this lineup is the most dynamic we're going to see in the Pacific League. And to be frank, this rotation isn't exactly imposing, but they're all quality pitchers. There's no nasty ace level guy that who you go into the game thinking, oh, this is going to be a serious challenge. But the guys are good. They're very they're veteran professional pitchers. They've been there for a while. They've got a track record of success. So I think they have enough pitching. I'm not sure exactly what the bullpen's going to look like, but my assessment is that they're going to figure that out as they go along. They have the defense. They have the motivation. The manager, Kokubo, is a guy I feel can make a difference in the in-game tactics, in that I just don't think he's going to play in the typical fashion much of the time. I think he's going to pick his spots to put pressure on defense, and I think he'll have these players on their toes all the time. And Yamakawa, I know he has injury issues each season, so keeping him healthy is important. Same with Yanagita, and I just think they're going to have opportunities to give those guys rest and bring up some younger players who have shown some potential. So I don't see a problem with this team at the moment. It looks like the best in the Pacific League, and I have them as well finishing in first. Claudio.
Well, I agree with everything you guys said. I think it's a really strong team, especially with Yamakawa and Walker coming in. Because one of the big weaknesses they had in the past 2 or 3 years is once Alfredo Espaine got old and couldn't hit anymore, and same with Yurisuel Gracial, they really lacked that fourth, that clutch hitter that would keep the team going. You know, they didn't have it last year, but if Yamakawa is healthy and you know, plays as he usually plays, and Walker, you know, can hit some homers as well, we're going to have a really strong lineup with Yanagita as well, and Kensuke Kondo, and, you know, everybody else, and Kurihara, et cetera. So they have a really good offensive lineup. They have, as you mentioned, good pitchers. They're not aces, but they're good, capable pitchers. I really like Livan Moinelo. I think he's a fantastic pitcher. I like him mostly in relief, but he definitely has a chance to become a good starter. So we should expect a good numbers from him as a starter. They still have Roberto Zuna as their closer, which is a quality guy. So it's a very strong team. I'm picking them to finish second. The only reason why I'm not picking them to finish first is because, again, they still had good talent in the past 2 or 3 years, and they didn't make it for whatever reason. Maybe this year changes and, you know, they really run away with the Pacific League, which would be great. But because of that doubt, I'm putting them on second and then leaving Oryx at first.
Do you think they have Despaigne on speed dial so that they can get him for a typical half a season?
Yeah, I think that was the first thing they did when they made Kokubo the manager. Here's Alfredo Despaigne's number.
Yeah, but break in case of emergency, right?
And Claudio, good for you. First person in about 6 years who's called Roberto Osuna a quality guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had a good season last year.
No, I don't think
quality movement.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. My apologies.
It's okay.
I meant as a pitcher, closer.
I know. We were waiting for them to sign Trevor Bauer, pretty much.
Ouch.
Hey, that's still on the table. I don't see a problem.
Yeah, because his contract in Mexico is like for 5 games. It's not even a full half season or anything. It's just like from April to May something, and that's it. And
hey, it'll after all depend that, on who it is that he's beating.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that one.
Don't joke, John.
Not going near it. All right. So, yeah, I think we either have the Hawks first or second, all of us, and the Buffaloes first or second. And I think that's the way A lot of people expect the Pacific League to play out, but again, I love the surprises. I'm hoping we see something that we're not expecting. But yeah, let's get to the Marines, and that's me. Expected rotation. I don't know why Kazuya Ojima is listed first, and he's the opening day starter, but he is. And then there's Noki Sasaki, and maybe they're just being mean to him and preparing for him to depart to the major leagues or something. I don't know, that I haven't read or haven't seen in the news, but it does seem weird that he's not the opening day starter. Although he didn't pitch well last week, and that was right after we recorded the show. He went out and had a, I would say for him, a pretty rocky early part of the game, and then he's kind of settled into it, and he pitched okay. Anyway, Atsuki Taniichi, Yuji Nishino, CC Mercedes, and Manabu Mima, who just, he's like, he could be the Masanori Ishikawa of the Pacific League. He's just never going to go away. He's going to win his game or two each season. He's always going to be out there. So key additions, infielder Neftali Soto comes over from DeNA with his 161 home run resume over six seasons over there. Pitcher James Dykstra, whom we will have on the show soon here, so look forward to that. Junior Hernandez, and then Jimmy Cordero. Roster hits, geez, Chihaya Sasaki, who was all that when he came out back in the day, is no more the pitcher. Ayumu Ishikawa, although it looks like he has signed a developmental deal to come back with the team, so he's going to be around. But for now, he's not around. He's a square. Shuhei Fukuda, a guy I've always liked, whose career really never got going because he was behind elite talent and champions and winners. He's gone. A number of players whose names we've heard, but who really haven't made a difference over the years. As for the outlook for this season, I think it's time for this team perhaps to take a step back. And I say that with the inflection that I'm asking the question, because it performed at a much higher level than I expected last season. And there hasn't really been any particular addition or change that tells me it's going to take a step forward. The top two pitchers, you know, league leader Sasaki is no doubt a candidate for the Sawamura. And then Taniichi, you know, he strikes out a lot of guys. He could, if they put things together defensively behind him and score runs like they did before, I think he can rival his teammate for the Sawamura. I really believe that because he puts together the numbers. But under Masato Yoshi, a pitcher in his day, this pitching staff, I don't know if it worked miracles or what happened last season, but I was shocked. I didn't expect that kind of, I didn't see that in the rotation. I didn't see an ability to shut down teams and stay in the race for so long and then win that first playoff series. I just didn't see all that. And so I didn't see it last year, and they didn't bring anything onto the team that makes me see it this year either. I think the offense can take a step forward with some of the young players developing, but we've got these young players, you know, Seiya Inoue included, who just, we've seen the bats, and they were supposed to be future cleanup hitters for the team, and they just really have not taken the step forward and been consistent. And I don't know where the offense is going to come from. That really leaves them in a battle for third place. And with the other teams taking step forwards, I think it's going to go down to the last week of the season again, and they're going to be scrambling, and I think they're going to take some steps back, and I think they're going to struggle, but I think they hold on and in the tough battle for third place. And that's where I got them finishing in third.
I have them finishing third. I like the team. I like the pitchers they have. And, you know, with all the talk of Rocky Sasaki wanting to go to the majors, he has to step up. Like, he hasn't, you know, thrown a complete season yet. If he really wants to make it, he has to show that he can do it. He has to at least throw a full season, you know, try to win a strikeout title or a ERA title or something like that. And if he does step up and becomes, you know, the ace of the team, well, he is already the ace of the team, but he, you know, he extends that for the entire season. And with the other pitchers they have, I like that Polanco is back, and Polanco can give them similar numbers, I believe, to what he did last year. I like the addition of Soto. Soto is a good hitter. He's not as great as he was when he first came to Japan, but he can still produce, you know, give you some 15-plus homers and some 60, 70 RBIs a season. So he can help the team as well and improve the offense. Obviously, they're not as good as a complete team as the Hawks and the Buffaloes, but, you know, between the other four teams, I think they have a chance to make the playoffs again this year. So I'm picking them third.
Okay, the Marines. I have the Marines fifth. Now, this is a team that I'm principally in agreement with most things you've said. They were a very, very average team, but I'm hoping that James Dykstra will do well. I'm a sucker for what players tell me. You know, if they tell me they're in the greatest shape of their professional career when they're 36, you know, I kind of want to believe them, even if I don't. And you'll hear, you know, I asked James Dykstra, you know, your overall numbers were not all that good. And so what, you know, I usually expect people to say I had an injury, I had a surgery, so on, so on. But he had a different story, which was first time I'd ever heard it. So we'll hear that. And I hope he's on it. And I hope that things, you know, he's where he wants to be. And I hope that this is with the right manager who sees what he's doing and sees the process, that he could really blossom in Japan where he hasn't blossomed all over the world.
Okay.
But, and which gets me to my next point, which is this is a team for optimists. You know, they were a very, very, very average team last year. They had a lot of average parts. They had few stars. And it was nothing to write home about, but they played very well. This is a team who gets a lot out of very little. Last year, I compared them to the Hiroshima Carp, who did similarly well. A team without outstanding superstars, but who put it together as a team. I still expect to see that, and I do love manager Masato Yoshi. He's the complete opposite of Kazuyoshi Tatsunami, in that...
Hey, no bad words on the show.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, Tatsunami is a guy who basically decides on a court, you know, who will see something and then think about his own career and then make a snap judgment about the way things work in the world.
I'm just saying that's foul language. That name.
Oh, I see.
Clean up your language, Jenna.
No,
sir.
I'm trying to be objective. And
we can refer to him as the Dragons manager. We don't have to use foul language by spewing that name out.
Okay. Spewing that name. Well, and in any case, the Marines have a manager who told me a couple of weeks ago that because he was required to do coursework for his master's degree in sports science and physical education with a specialty in coaching, he was required to do research. And he said, you know, the great thing about research is that you can learn things that you never learn from your personal experience.
Mm.
You can know that if you do this, something else will result without having experienced it. And you will also know that what you see is not exactly how things are. So he has an objective approach to pretty much everything and to learning. And this is a guy who is very infectious in his optimism. And he is also the opposite in that respect of Hiroshi Fujimoto. He's a guy who basically inspires his players to do as well as they can. So they're a very ordinary team. Now, I don't think they have a whole ton of talent, but whatever talent the players give them have, they're going to show up. That being said, I'm also allowed to only use that a limited number of times each.
That's right.
Year. I have them fifth. So I've already got the warning on for that. So I have them fifth.
All right. Well, they worked some magic last year. Obviously, the Marines did, and this is the thing. If we heard all off season about Sasaki and a possible jump to the States. Now, we knew that was not possible unless they posted him, but we saw reports and there was talk and there were rumors and it was all fool's gold. I'm like, no, he's not leaving, but we don't know if he can even go next year, but we're anticipating that. So if this is going to be Sasaki's last year with the Marines, I'm saying, let him go all out, let him pitch complete games, let him grow up. Take the kid gloves off of him and let him throw. That that alone can't get them extra wins. It only helps them win that particular night, in theory. But yeah, I would like to see them take a step forward. But even if they take a step back, the other teams behind them, I believe, are going to have to make huge moves forward to actually catch them. So that's why I still have them finishing in the playoffs. But we shall see. I don't know. Jim, Yoshi, I like him too. And you talk about guys being a good guy, and that has nothing to do with wins and losses, but you certainly want to root for him.
Well, it does in the sense that you have managers and players, not exclusively managers, who create a good working environment. As if you work in an office full of people who are backbiting and backstabbing and gossiping and not doing their share, and making excuses, it's not conducive. On the other hand, if you've got people who are positive and sharing and being considerate and positive and encouraging, you want to take the extra step. And I think that's where that does make a difference. So okay. He can't change the talent, and that's why I have him fifth. But I do think he will get the most out of the talent. Whatever talent they've got, they'll show up.
All right. And for the first time, and I don't know when, I have been finally released from Lions purgatory. I do not have to intro this team. I do not have to take the hits. But to see the thing was, Claudio, I never cared. So anyway, here's Claudio with the Lions.
All right. So for the Lions, expect a rotation. It's a really good rotation. I mean, the Lions probably have maybe the second best. It could be the first best rotation in the Pacific League. They have Kona Takahashi. They have Tatsuya Imai, Kaima Taira. And after that, I guess they're going to go with Wataru Matsumoto, Kaito Yosa, Chihiro Sumida. They have other options as well, but I think they have at least the first three are really good. And they have other good starters as well. For the key additions, for the first time in years, the Lions made a big bet on Latin players. I mean, last year they only had one, which was Jesus Tinoco. 2022, they had zero Latin players on their roster, and before that it was only Ernesto Mejia for like a couple of years or so. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy to see them betting big on Latin talent. So they got Jesus Aguilar, they got Franchi Cordero, Jeffrey Yan, and Albert Abreu, and they all came together to Japan. They're having fun. Especially Aguilar is looking good so far in the preseason. Same with Jan and Abreu. Franchi Cordero looks a bit small, but what I like about these additions is that they have a couple of power hitters basically, and a couple of good relievers. And mm-hmm. if these guys adapt well, they can really make a difference to this team this year, especially on the offense, because we know that with losing Yamakawa, which, by the way, talking about the roster hits, is Hotaka Yamakawa, who was suspended and then was traded to SoftBank. They let David McKinnon go. Not sure why. He had good numbers last year. Dietrich Enns, Jesús Tinoco, who I think did a good job as a reliever. He was let go as well.
Especially after giving up that home run on his first pitch in Japan.
yeah, exactly. But I mean, but he ended up with a 230 something, I believe, ERA. He wasn't bad. He did a good job as a middle reliever. Mark Payton and Brooks Kreisky. So I think the team for the outlook, I like the promise, the potential. I think this is a team that if everything goes well for them, they can make the playoff. I think they have the talent enough, especially with that good rotation, the good pitching they have. If they can come up with some key hits and score some runs, I think they can make a run for the playoffs and do some damage there. The only doubt I have about that is that obviously you never know what's going to happen. You never know whether they're going to adapt well or not. As I said, Aguilar has looked fine so far in the preseason. Same with Jan and Abreu, who could be who could work as a closer for the team. But you never know. Maybe they look good now. They have a good April, but then after May, they start falling and, nothing happens. So I think there's some doubt there. Not many guarantees at especially the offense. I think the pitching is fine. The offense is what, with losing Yamakawa, looks weak. And Takeya Nakamura had a great season last year, but you can't expect him. He's what, 39 or 40 already? You can't expect him to keep hitting that well every single year. So, they need the help, and that's why I like them signing Aguilar and Cordero, which if they adapt well, I think they could be good, really good reinforcements for the lineup. But again, you never know what's going to happen. So because of that doubt, then I'm picking them to finish fourth.
Okay. I think Natsuki Takeuchi, a lefty out of college, might make the rotation. He has pitched well in the preseason, but we'll have to see. But Jim.
I have the Lions fourth. And principally, I do like Jesús Aguilar. He's 33. And he's a first baseman, but he drew enough walks in his prime to be useful. He has a little pop. He never struck out much. So maybe he's a guy who can make, I'm guessing he's a guy who can make the adjustments. I don't want to say anything about spring batting results because I can't help but think of Chris Gittens last year, who looked like the second coming of Randy Bass in the spring, and then and then he was hurt. Okay, let's but you just never know, and as I guess that goes without saying in baseball, you never do know. But I do like him. The other guys, I like Hiroshi Kino. He throws really hard. The Save the Lions have had good luck with guys who throw really hard. David McKinnon goes into the same category as Hiroshima's Matt Davidson, someone who looked like he could contribute on a daily basis and had the work ethic and had the effort, but was unable to turn that into numbers that begged you to want to keep him. And because of the development of Sumida and Taira and the addition of Natsuki Takeuchi, I have to think that the line, for the first time in years, the Lions will go into a season with a plan that is better than, wouldn't it be great if Takeya Nakamura played like he did 10 years ago?
Is that actually a plan? What if?
That is. And then if the other guys are, and then let's call a bunch of guys up from the minors because they're really good athletes. This is the other thing the Lions have done. Pretty much, it's a pretty standard thing. You get a bunch of good athletes who can run and throw and put them in the outfield so they can run and throw, but they don't really hit. So anyway, that's been sort of the Lions thing. Okay, they lost one of those guys. He's now with the Bay Stars, but nobody will notice. I mean, I liked him, but he's gone. And again, you won't leave much of a hole to fill. My prediction is fourth.
Yeah, I see so many new faces in the building. I'm looking at this because I went out there recently, and I think it was a, we saw the Giants last season just throw spaghetti at the wall and just bring in a bunch of people. And I think that's what the Lions are doing, and they're trying to see what's going to stick. I counted no fewer than 21 additions when I was going through who was new and who was still with the team. And I had to sift through all those guys to figure out who I was going to put in my key additions section here. And I think that was the most. They drafted a lot of guys. They brought in some development of players. I believe they brought in all these foreign players as well. So I bet they still have name tags on some of the guys because there's so many new people. but, you know, we're used to the Lions being a big bashing team, a lot of power, and those guys are gone. Nakamura is there, but I have to believe that he's going to, if not get injured right away, get injured at some point, and we're going to see a loss of production. So this is one of the teams I was thinking, take me out to the small game. This is what we're going to see from the Lions. It's going to be a new approach in which they are bunting and playing a lot of hit and run and trying to work the count to get walks and then move guys over and move them around rather than slug the ball over the fence as much. But again, with the imports, we don't know, you know, we haven't seen much of what they have done in their past, obviously, but we're blind. I know they have some pop, but you got to make contact. And that's the problem. Guys come over here with the big arms and the big swings, and the big arms and big swings equal, big losses sometimes. So, without this power, I'm going to be interested to see how Matsui goes into his third season as manager trying to compete, because he has had his head beaten in the first two seasons here, basically, because they haven't really had a lot of talent, and the talent they did have in Yamakawa had to be put on the sideline here with his little scandal and issues, his situation last season. So the rotation is great. I mean, we could be looking at a team that mimics or mirrors in some ways the Dragons, in that they'll be in every game, every night of the week. But do they have enough offense to get over the other teams? And I'm not convinced that they can do it consistently. So I'll have to, I mean, they might prove me wrong. They might be one of these surprise teams. But at the moment, I don't know who's going to be hit, who's going to be missed in terms of all the new guys on the offensive side. And do these pitchers continue to make steps forward? And are they going to be able to keep them in contention? And obviously, with their only one team left here, I can't see that right now from here. So I have them finishing in fifth. But I wouldn't be surprised if all that pitching pays off for the team in the end. But I certainly wouldn't predict that. And I like the manager. I like what the Lions have been doing under him. They haven't been sitting around waiting for a three-run home run. They've been trying to be a little bit more aggressive, and I like that, but can't see it paying off right now. Hopefully they will. I mean, I look at our predictions here. We've got the Hawks and Buffaloes at the top. It looks like the Marines we have in the middle for the most part, the Lions. So I think we're going to see a lot of close games, a lot of hotly contested games every night from start to finish, again going down to the last pitch to decide the order, like we did last season, to decide the order of the teams and the playoff order, and maybe even who makes the playoffs. So should be really fun. Obviously Sasaki, I would like to see him throw another no-hitter/perfect game. I'd like to see Anagita get to the 40 home run total. I'd like to see Manami win a home run title. I would like to see a lot of things, so I'm looking forward to a great season. But always appreciate you, Claudio, making time and taking time away from your family and spending it with us and talking about Japanese baseball all the way from, it must be freezing over there, cold Toronto.
yeah, well, it's snow today, which is, we hadn't had a lot of snow this winter, but hey, it's okay. Used to it.
And Jim coming back from South Korea and watching the Dodgers and having to deal with interpreter scandals and all this other stuff. So thank you for getting up early after your trip and recording with us. Really appreciate that.
That's the way the world goes.
The season's going to start soon. We will be back with a show next week. We certainly appreciate you guys listening. Anyone who has a question, comment, or criticism, anything for us, hit us up at twitter.com with the hashtag High Heat, at JBW Podcast. Send emails, including voicemails, to yakyujohn@gmail.com, or hit us up on the Facebook page. We are on Google Podcasts, still going strong, and iTunes, so look for us there. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Bye, everyone.
See you at those opening day ballparks.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBall Allen. Submit your questions with hashtag High Heat and listen for an answer in an upcoming episode.